Begin Again Mama. I'm your host, Tia, holistic nutritionist, integrative nutrition health coach, prenatal postpartum nutrition professional with a focus on whole person health. Today, I need to start this podcast with a trigger warning. I will be talking about pregnancy loss and stillbirth, two things I feel are taboo in our culture, even though both are not something to hide, run away from, or feel shame over. I just need to put this out there so you get to decide for yourself whether or not your heart and spirit is in a space that can hear about the hard things of pregnancy loss and stillbirth. I didn't plan to take a break from Begin Again Mama the last 2 months, but I had to. I had to create space and time for healing and processing our lives completely changing. We were abruptly entering a new season of grief and life-altering loss for our family. We were entering a very critical and spiritual space of needing to tap into that reality that every moment is an opportunity to begin again and practice the things that I believe and want to continue to foster in my family and in my life going forward. I haven't talked a lot about my second pregnancy on the podcast. I did one episode and had planned to talk more about it. But I guess life got busy and I didn't make it a priority. Looking back, I wonder if there was a part of me unconsciously holding myself back, knowing the fate on some level of this pregnancy. I haven't totally processed that or even really began to dig deep into that yet. But today I should be 31 weeks pregnant. Our baby Faye was stillborn at 21 weeks gestation. I'll back up and tell it from when we went into our 20-week anatomy scan. The ultrasound tech was cold and standoffish. She was not very talkative or friendly like she was the first time we saw her around 20 weeks. She had ended up dismissing herself from the room for a quick second and then came back to finish the scan with very little to say. She had told us that she was just there to do the scan itself. The images would be sent off to somebody else to read, and then our midwife would follow up with us the next day. So the next day came, which was Thursday, and we received terrifying and ambiguous information that our baby had multiple abnormalities on the scan. We were being referred to a perinatal specialist by our birth center for further options. I could not hear or understand a single word out of the midwife's mouth after further options. I immediately called my husband in tears, just crying, something is wrong with our baby. I couldn't say anything else. He came home from work early, he called the birth center and attempted to get more information that they didn't have or couldn't give. And then he tried to get us into the specialist the next day, which was Friday. But we had to wait for our referral to make it over, and the referral itself took 24 to 48 hours to reach them, and then we could schedule. By then it was Friday, and we couldn't get in until Monday, which was the soonest they could do that, and we had to just accept that. There was no other option. So we spent Thursday through Monday in the dark thinking of every possibility under the sun. It was one of the most stressful weekends I have ever experienced, and In hindsight, I also wonder if all of that stress I experienced contributed to the acceleration of our baby's death. That's also something I haven't totally unpacked, though. I'll go back. Okay. So that weekend, well, starting Friday, I just kind of swung from being present in the moment with our little family of four, embracing the pregnancy and our toddler with as much love as possible, to just being completely disembodied and thinking of worst case scenarios and outcomes for our family. I did my best to show up for our toddler, still going about our plans with friends and family that weekend, enjoying the nice weather as much as possible. I felt like I had to share what I was going through with friends. I couldn't digest the unknown alone. I also wanted to be intentional with and bring with bringing in my community and getting to know the moms that we see weekly on a deep spiritual and emotional level, just actually cultivating true intimacy with people, knowing that I've been longing for this sense of community for a couple of years since becoming a mother, and to cultivate that type of community, like, you have to let people in. And so I wanted to be intentional with that. I felt so supported and loved by everyone I talked to. I just kept praying and hoping for a miracle. And one of the moms asked me, "What does your baby say? Like, when you tap into your intuition, what is your baby telling you?" And I looked at her and I said, "That's what's so confusing. I feel my intuition and I feel my baby telling me everything's going to be okay. Everything is okay. But I have this medical system, I have these doctors, these scans telling me that it's not okay." And she's like, "Listen to your baby, tap into that. Talk to your baby and be present in what they are telling you." Saturday eventually rolled around and we went to the beach as a family. I got to wear a swimsuit while being pregnant with our second baby for the first time. I assumed it would be the first of many. I imagined going to the beach, playing in the lake, playing in the sand with my toddler all summer, and just being very pregnant, especially towards the end of summer. I envisioned my whole summer, all of the different events we had planned. I envisioned myself being pregnant, being so many months, so many weeks pregnant. Yeah, and I'm grateful that we got that experience on that weekend to have at least one of those visions come true. Then eventually Sunday rolled around and I was laying down with our toddler to take a nap. Our daily ritual and rhythm together was to nap. We were snuggling and I realized I hadn't felt the baby moving like I usually do when we would lay down for our nap, and still wanting to tap into that everything's okay and wanting to think the best and hoping for that miracle, I didn't want to bring this up to my husband. Plus, I knew I wouldn't get any answers on a Sunday unless I went to the ER, and I firmly believe like what's going to happen is going to happen no matter what. I didn't feel like we belonged in the ER. That wasn't part of our story. So before we went in for the scans, we ended up having a virtual meeting with a genetics counselor on Monday morning, and this was my first experience even knowing what a genetics counselor was. They explained everything to us in full, what they had saw in the scans, what they were going to check for in the scans later that day, and any possible answers and outcomes that we could think of. This was something I desperately wished they would have done for us on Thursday when they called this such ambiguous information that left us in the dark. It's actually something I brought up to the birth center afterwards when we did a debrief, because again, I can't stop to think. I can't stop thinking about the stress and anxiety and all of the unknown. how that probably played a role in, I think, just accelerating the fate of Faye's death. I don't think it could have been prevented, but I think it was accelerated through the things, the emotions I was feeling after receiving the scans. Ultimately, the genetics counselor told us that they had saw extra fluid around vital organs, and the main concern was the heart. They said our baby was measuring small for gestational age, and what they were looking at was likely something called Turner syndrome, where our baby doesn't have a full second chromosome. On the walk back to the actual scans that day, we were talking to the tech and asked her to talk us through everything she was doing and point out everything she possibly could during the scans because of our experience the week prior that left us feeling alone. And she happily obliged. She said that she would kind of just give us a play-by-play what she was doing. She couldn't actually show us or tell us what she was seeing. That would be the doctor's role after the scans. So she started and she said she was going to start with the heart, but ended up taking measurements of the baby first. Our baby was measuring around 17, 18 weeks gestation, not 21 weeks that they should have been. Shortly into the scan, she excused herself, stating she was going to take the measurements to grab a weight. And immediately I looked at Austin and said that I have a terrible feeling about this because she shouldn't have left so soon. This was supposed to be a 1 hour scan. And his head fell. He said, I didn't think about that. A few moments later, another person entered the room with the tech and she introduced herself as the doctor that we were meeting with after. She stated very blankly, as you may suspect, there is no heartbeat today. Even though I did suspect that, hearing it was something that is just indescribable. Utter anguish washed over us. Our baby had died. Worst case scenario has happened. I believe our baby's heart stopped beating on Sunday at some point that morning. I felt them move on Saturday. It was our last day as a physical family of four. And we had such a great day. That's what I started thinking about after she told us the heartbeat wasn't there. Then the reality of where I was set back in. I was still in this clinic. My belly was still out, gel on it and all, being held by my husband as we just sobbed in each other's arms. Eventually, they moved us into a counseling room where we met with another genetics counselor. She started going over next steps, and we opted out of any testing that day just so we could go home and decide how we wanted to proceed. It wasn't about the why at the time, it was just about how do we feel is the right way to see through the next steps of the remainder of this pregnancy. A midwife from the birth center called to talk to me on our way home. She answered all of my questions, plus ones I didn't really know I had. She was just a huge help and guide in the decision process. Being 21 weeks, I was presented with two options: a DNC at Planned Parenthood or induction of labor at a hospital. She explained to me in as much detail as she could give about how each one of those scenarios would play out. I immediately reached out to my therapist, which I'm so thankful I have an established relationship with a woman I trusted with all of my emotions. She has been in my life for nearly 3 years since my since the week of my sister's death in 2021. We had an emergency call that night after my toddler went to bed. I needed to talk through my decisions with an outside party, but one who truly knew me. I felt betrayed by my intuition. Why didn't my intuition tell me something was wrong with my baby? Why did I feel like things were okay when things were clearly so not okay? Now I have to tap into the same intuition that I don't trust right now to make a huge life decision. I couldn't fathom this. I couldn't fathom how I could move forward and figure that out. I was brokenhearted, betrayed, and just felt absolutely shattered. At the end of our conversation, she asked me a powerful question. What does your wisest, most true self say to do? I closed my eyes and immediately envisioned this version of me. She's gray-haired, wrinkled, loving, and has the most calm, peaceful presence. Ultimately, she told me I have always known the right option for me. I know it will be the hard decision, the harder decision in the moment, but it will be the one to bring the most healing in the long run. And immediately, I knew I had to birth our baby. I knew I wanted to birth our baby. We deserve to have a birth story. My baby, myself, and my husband deserve to have a birth story for our family. We needed this experience for me to heal. We needed this experience for our family to heal and to properly begin grieving. We live in a society that is so quick to move on from pregnancy loss and stillbirth and even infant death. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to acknowledge it. And we don't want to bring it up to mamas and parents who have lost children. And in reality, that is so much more hurtful than it is helpful. I was so nervous to tell my husband because I knew he would support me either way, but I also knew he would have a harder time watching me birth our baby that we knew was not alive, right? Like that experience would be the harder experience for him in the moment, just as it would be for myself. After my husband and I talked, we called the midwife and it was about 9 p.m. and I told her I wanted an induction. So she called around and made the arrangements for us at the hospital for Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. We were going in 12 hours later. After a long night, 9 a.m. Tuesday morning did eventually roll around. We dropped Otto off at my mom's, thinking we would pick him up later that day to sleep together as a family. But the induction itself took longer than I expected. I had no experience with induction or birth at a hospital. Honestly, I really did not want to have that experience. I never wanted to be induced or to birth at a hospital. I wanted my body to do its biological normal thing, and I wasn't presented with that option, so I didn't think it was. I felt like I had to do the hospital, and I am thankful for who we had that day working with us. We had a very loving and present nurse and a wonderful midwife who held space for us in ways that we didn't know a hospital could or would. The hospital also had a death doula that we got to meet with and work through some of the grief and the process to come. We received a beautiful memorial box filled with items handpicked by other lost parents. And in hindsight, I can see that we needed to be in this experience longer that day than I expected to truly begin the process of grieving our baby girl's death. We needed to have that space held for us and humanize this experience we are having. It was very cathartic and more, yeah, just humanizing, I think, is like the best word that I can come up with. Because when you lose a baby, it's not not a full term baby, but it's also not a miscarriage. It's like kind of in between, and I didn't really know how to handle that. I didn't know how to think about that. I knew how I felt, and I didn't know if my feelings were going to be matched by other people. Like, I didn't know if other people were also going to see this huge loss as a huge loss. I feared it being swept under the rug and moved on and not given the proper space that it deserved, not honoring our baby as they deserved. And the experience that we had that day in the hospital gave us the room to see and understand our feelings and validate how deeply painful and life-altering this loss truly is. Our baby girl, Faye, was born on May 21st at 7:45 p.m. She was so tiny and absolutely perfect. We held her and kissed her, said hello and goodbye all in the same breath. They took our photos. They dressed her, got her handprints and feet prints. And once we felt ready to say goodbye to her body, we got to go home. It's impossible to make the decision of how long to spend with your dead baby's body. It feels like an eternity in the moment, and after, it felt like not enough time. I really underestimated how hard the integration process after Faye's stillbirth was going to be. My husband only had a few days off of work and he had to go back the following Monday. I had just given birth, not full-term birth, but still birth, and was in the postpartum period, an unknown postpartum period. I needed to rest and grieve and process, while also needing to be a mother of a 20-month-old who is used to our daily rhythms. It's just me and him while my husband works, and all of a sudden it's abruptly changed. I also underestimated the grieving process that our toddler would go through. I fully believe him and his sister have a spiritual connection that I will never be able to understand, and I want to always foster that for him, while also not knowing how to do that, not understanding what toddler grief would look like, and feeling just thrown into this unknown of how do I support my family in grieving, my toddler, my husband, and also support myself in grieving and healing. I still don't know the answers to any of those things. I'm still grappling with that 2 months later, and I think I will be for the rest of my life, honoring and knowing like we are a family of four. Faye will always be my second born, my second child. And she's not here. She's not earthside. And so it's not physically known that she is our second child, that we are a family of four. How to move forward with that is really hard. I'm so grateful for the relationship I have with my mom. She was able to come over every day to help with Otto and our household chores and just living. I have a wonderful community of like-minded mamas who showed up for us physically with food and financially with donations and spiritually and emotionally with just love and support. And so grateful that I was more intentional with my grief than I felt like I was with my sister's grief. I don't want to compare the two griefs because they're completely different. Each one holds its own space and deserves its own space in my life. And I also looked back on the early days of the grief with my sister and how much I isolated myself and shut other people out, that I knew I didn't want to do that this time. I have a deep desire to grow a community of true intimacy with people and true knowing and belonging. And I knew that for as hard as this is, this was a situation that was going to show me who was going to be in that community, who was going to show up and who is going to be there and who can hold space for this and who can be there with our integration process and honor our baby girl just as much as we want to honor her. I'm going to make another podcast about the postpartum period that I experienced and how I supported myself physically and emotionally during that time. I think I'm going to just leave this podcast as Faye's story so I can dive deeper into the postpartum period of it afterwards. I know that is still part of Faye's story, but this is where I'm going to stop it now and leave the invitation out there for other moms who have experienced loss to reach out to me and connect, because I have truly found such a wonderful holistic community within grief of specific grieving of lost moms. And it's a monthly meeting. It's a wonderful group. It has aided in my healing so much and opened my eyes to what we experienced. Even though it's something you physically are going through, it's something that you need to later process and emotionally realize, like, what did we actually just go through? And having a space to do that has been so beautiful and so needed. I'm so grateful. So I want to invite anyone in who has experienced loss and who thinks that they could benefit from a group to reach out to me. And also, maybe you're not ready for a group or have a group, but just want to connect anyway with other mamas who are learning how to live with the loss of a baby, of a child. I would love to be there and see how we can show up for each other. I can be found on Instagram at tia.walden. That is T-I-A period W-A-L-D-E-N. And just remember, mama, like, every moment we enter is an opportunity to begin again. No matter what has happened before it, no matter what is coming next, we have the opportunity to begin again right now. And that is a beautiful place to start living. Thank you for joining Begin Again, Mama. I am grateful you chose to spend time with me. I know how busy you are and how precious your time really is. If you like this podcast, I invite you to subscribe or follow on your desired platform. And when you do, please rate and review Begin Again, Mama. This helps me expand our reach. Until next time, remember, each moment is an opportunity to start anew and begin again, Mama.